God loved and brought Pastor Copeland to Buford. And I thank God for that. Praise God. I'd like to start tonight, 2 Kings chapter 2. I want to read a few verses and kick this thing off. 2 Kings chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Turning to Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 44. I know everybody's got it. It's on the screen. It says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." Brother Stroop, would you pray for us? You may be seated. My wife and I, on occasion, will discuss sermons, and I think sermons need to be discussed in the family. We need to talk about the Word of God and what God has brought to us and what He has imparted to us in the Word. And sometimes a preacher will get up and he'll give a title to a message, and it's like, where does it all fit together? And tonight, I'm afraid I may have one of those lessons. Tonight, I want to talk about investments. No, I'm not going to get into your territory, Brother Mayor. Investments. Investments are, they can be long-lasting. They can be short-range. They can be very complicated. I, in my life, have had very little dealings with the stock market. I had some stock purchased through an employee purchase plan at once. I took a job with a company in California, and they gave me 3,000 options to stock. That sounds like a great thing, because it was at a price that was pretty much, it was pretty reduced over what the going rate of stock was. Only problem was, before I could exercise those options, the price of the stock had fallen to a fraction of what it was originally. It started at $120, and by the time I could exercise the options, they were $1.28 a piece. So it wasn't a good deal. It would have been an awful investment. I would have lost a lot of money. 3,000 shares at $120 versus 3,000 shares at $1.28. So there are many things we can invest in life. Youth, I wish I had understood something about investments when I was young. I'm not young anymore, if y'all didn't know. There are things that you can put money in. Pastor has mentioned compound interest and how just putting money in the bank or into something, an IRA, it'll earn interest, and then that interest will earn interest, and it grows. And you look at it, and it doesn't look like it's growing very fast. I have a checking account at People's Bank, and I'm trying to remember. I think it is 0.5% interest I earn on my savings account. Wow, that's really some serious earning. But there are other things that you can invest in besides money. You can invest in your health. Anybody into investing in your health? There are things that people do for their health. There are some people that go to the gym. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me. When I worked at Sherwin-Williams, we would work, and we would lift 20,000-plus pounds of paint a night. And some of those guys would leave the job and go to the gym. And I'm like, really? To the gym now? You've already had a workout. Oh, no, this is different. I go, no, weight is weight. So Matter of fact, I was here at church one day, and I walked by and grabbed the shoulder of a young man. I'm not even going to look in his direction because I don't want to embarrass him. And I was shocked. I was like, where did you get those shoulders? Somebody has made an investment. You laugh, but that is an investment in your body. Now, we're not going to talk about any of that tonight. I want to talk about investments in the kingdom of God. Brother Walker, you tap danced all over where I was going tonight. I leaned over and told my wife, I said, you know, I'm up here, and I don't know if y'all can notice this, but it's a little nerve-wracking. Brother Walker knows what I'm talking about. I leaned over and told my wife, I said, you know, it's comforting to know that you get a little bit of a confirmation from God when somebody gets in the pulpit and starts tap dancing around what God has given you. So tonight I'm going to do my best to deliver what God has put on my heart. In these verses of Scripture we've read in Matthew, it talks about two different merchants that sold everything they had to purchase a treasure. Now, all of you here that received the Holy Ghost, you know there was a selling out involved in receiving the Holy Ghost. You don't just get the Holy Ghost. There has to be a price paid. The ultimate price has already been paid by Jesus Christ on Calvary. He shed his blood for our sins. Salvation belongs to us. But there are many that do not partake of it. When I worked for other jobs, they offered investment programs that you could opt out of. Why would anybody opt out of this investment plan that God has purchased for us? Now, receiving the Holy Ghost is the most wonderful thing that could ever happen to you. If you haven't received the Holy Ghost tonight, I before this service is over, it can be yours. I remember at 6 years old when I received the Holy Ghost, I mean, six-year-olds are usually pretty bad. I mean, murderers, you know, drug dealers, they're just bad. But I remember feeling like I was literally floating out the door the night I got the Holy Ghost. Does anybody remember that time when you received the Holy Ghost and God lifted that burden of sin off your life? That is just the beginning. Just getting in the door. Getting hired. When you get hired, you get to participate in all the investment programs that the company has. God has given us something that I'm afraid we have just not tapped into. Maybe it's just me. You know, 2 Timothy 2 and 6 says that the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. What I am teaching tonight, God has really put it on my heart. It has haunted me? You ever heard something that just eat you up and you're like, God, I got to do something. I got to do better than I've been doing. Follow me tonight. There is treasure in what I'm talking about. Pastor has preached from these verses many times recently talking about the treasure principle. This is along the same lines, but it's a different direction, if you will. God wants us to be available. You don't have to have great ability, just availability. All you have to do is seek him. You know, I mentioned these people that like to go to the gym, and they're not these 5-minute gym people. They're these guys that go and spend an hour, 2 hours. There was a particular guy I worked with, and his name slips my mind. He played football for Gainesville, and a lot of folks know him around here. But that guy has been known to spend 6 hours a day in the gym. Now, we're talking spiritual things tonight. How much could be accomplished with a 6-hour-a-day prayer life? How much? I have heard stories of Azusa Street. You know what? This is the same thing that's on the day of Pentecost. That's the same thing that's on the day of Pentecost. There is no difference in our experience that we have now and what happened then. There were some of those people that prayed 6+ hours a day. There was a particular evangelist that if you were going to travel with him, you were required to pray 6 hours a day. Anybody ready to sign up? Now, personally, is anybody ready to seek after that kind of results? We have a city of lost people. lost people, and it's getting bigger. We have the treasure. We have the light. We have salvation that has been imparted to us. We know the plan of salvation. We have the truth. We need to get it out there. You know, we have had people come in here before and say, you know, I was just driving by and something made me stop. Wonder what it was. Anybody been praying lately? God, touch our city, touch our mayor, touch everybody that walks by the church. They should be able to feel the Holy Ghost reaching for them. I remember the first time that happened, we were in the old building. Yes, God really moved back then too. My wife and I were counting tonight. I think there's about 6 people left here that were here when Pastor came in 93. Y'all remember what it was like? I know Brother Kyle was one of them. It was thin, but we had moves of the Holy Ghost there. And Pastor's biggest concern was that we would move over here and just relax. In some cases, it did happen somewhat, but thank God we've got a little revival burning in us. But I remember there was a family on a Sunday morning that said that they opened up the phone book, flopped it. Yeah, phone book. That's probably obsolete by now, isn't it? Anybody remember what a phone book is? Okay. Yeah, me and Brother Tucker. Anyway, they opened the phone book to the church section, stuck their finger on the page, and looked down. First Pentecostal Church, Buford, Georgia. I'm going to tell you what, God knows how to move. That morning they showed up in church, and let me just sort of stumble through this. When Brother Cooley was here, he started a prayer meeting on Tuesday night, and they called it Call to Battle Prayer. Wow, what a name. I don't know where the name went. We haven't used it in a long, long time. And again, we had almost the whole church show up. Any of you that don't come on Tuesday night, you're welcome. You don't need a special invitation. Come on Tuesday night to prayer. Let's have prayer meeting. So anyway, we had been praying, God, give us revival in our city. And these folks found the church in the phone book. And through the man, I'm not going to call his name because some of you know him. He's not here anymore. Where is Brother Acebo? Back there. That man is here because he came and got the Holy Ghost. That man that came on that Sunday morning got the Holy Ghost and brought Brother Acebo to church, and he got the Holy Ghost. You never know what your one little testimony will do. I know another lady, Brother Acebo's wife. You know why she's here? Because there was a man in this church that sought her out and kept telling her, you need to come get the Holy Ghost. Brother Maranto, he come to see her on her job. How difficult is that? We're talking about people that have found a treasure, and they're willing to give whatever it takes to get it. In the financial world, does anybody remember recently the one percenters? Y'all remember that? Where they, oh, they're nasty one percenters. They're on the very top of the top, and they've got all the money. Tax them to death. 100% tax on those folks. Do you realize that we are in the spiritual 1%? We may be in the spiritual 0.5%. I wouldn't trade this for any other church around. There, you know, God moves on different people different ways. We've all experienced that draw. Y'all know what I'm talking about. The pastor will preach, the Holy Ghost will move, and you will feel God calling you. You know how hard it is to get away from that? Just get up and go to the bathroom. It's gone. It's gone. God is not going to tackle you down the aisle and drag you to the altar for a consecration. That's not how he works. Sometimes he might knock a little louder so you can hear if you're in the back room. God is calling every one of us. We know what the treasure is. Are we willing to purchase it? There is a cost associated with this treasure that is, it's not cheap. You know, sometimes time gets away from us. We will find ourselves rushing to get out the door to get to church. Anybody ever do that? Tonight? Yeah, it happens. It happens. We will be rushing. We'll run home from work, jump in the shower. If we get 270 seconds, we're lucky. 2.5 minutes, is that right? Whatever it was. 3, 4 minutes, 5 minutes in the shower. Thank God you got 5 minutes in the shower. We're glad you did. Sometimes we only have 5 minutes to pray. Sometimes we only have 5 minutes to pray. Let's make it unusual that we only have 5 minutes to pray. If you want a relationship with God, 5 minutes a day is not going to get it. I don't think 15 minutes a day is going to get it. But if I don't have an hour, guess what? I'm going to give him everything I got because I've got to have him. Nothing else matters. It's sort of eating at me. I don't know if anybody knows what I'm talking about. This may be all for me. If it's all for me, then y'all just ride along with me and y'all can encourage me when you see me next time. I want to be the one that sells. No, baby, I'm not selling the car. Sorry, it's okay. I want to be the one that sells out. And that is not for, so everybody, oh, he sold out. That's not the point. That is not what I'm after. I want others to experience this thing that we have. This thing that we have is so precious. It is so, it's priceless. We sit in here, air conditioned. Thank God for air conditioning, especially this time of the year, although it feels like it's on heat up here. We got padded pews. We're getting ready to build a bigger building. Praise God. And sometimes I think we just go to sleep. I have been asleep with my eyes wide open. Asleep in the house of God. Amen in the preacher. Oh, is it time to go home yet? Oh, I got to get up early in the morning. Where is my dedication? Where is my dedication? Where's my consecration? Am I going to do it or not? Sometimes we feel this call. We feel this. I was talking to a young person here, and I noticed that they were a little, I won't say annoyed, maybe that's the word, but they were just a little annoyed that everybody didn't feel what they felt. You ever felt like that? Oh, come on, everybody, come on. Why isn't everybody doing what? You don't feel what I feel? I'm not special. Not special at all. But it's easy to start going, well, how come everybody else don't feel this burden I feel? Bless God. Maybe I need to pray a little longer that they do feel the burden that I feel. Maybe I haven't prayed enough that some of it will fill the house. God's desire is that we all seek him with our whole heart. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, it says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." All of your heart. There are some men in the Bible that really bring question marks to my mind. You know, anybody reading their Bible through this year? Anybody? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10. Okay. Read your Bible through. Read it through again when you get through. There is such strength in that book. There are things in there that'll make you just go, wow, God is amazing. I have been reading about Elijah and Elisha, and I'm going to tell you what. I look at those two guys and I go, they didn't have the Holy Ghost. What did they do to get that kind of experience with God? You know, Elijah was walking along one day. I'm not going to take off my coat. But the Bible says he took off his mantle and he threw it on Elisha. Now, before I had read that, we've all read scripture before and, you know, just go on and you miss it. But in reading it recently, the Lord told Elijah to go do it to Elisha. Go call him. And I missed that until recently. I read it again. I'm like, what? Is God calling us? Is God calling me? Is he calling you? Is he calling you? Is he going to throw the mantle on you? And the Bible says that Elisha said, wait. Let me go kiss my mama goodbye. Paraphrase. And he goes, nothing to me. Do what you want to do. And the Bible says that he did something pretty extraordinary. He went back. Oh, I got a knife too. He went back, for those of you who have been to my class with a knife before, His knife was probably a little bigger than this one. That'd take a long time with that. He killed the ox and he burnt the plow. What was he thinking? I ain't coming back here no more. My journey here is over. I'm going that way. You know, my goal is to go somewhere I have never been before. I want this to be the only, not the church, this life. I want this life to be the only hell I ever experience. I want to go somewhere that all those who went before us and paved the way with prayer and bloodshed and giving their life for this, I want to go where they are. I had never heard of Michael Servetus. I had never heard the story. Then we had the brother come, the priest that had converted, and he talked about it, and I was like, oh, Lord, what happened to this man? This man was not an average man. He was a very, very smart man. He was very wise. But somewhere along the way, he sold out. He sold out everything for this truth. The gospel, the oneness of God. Do you realize there is only one God and his name is Jesus? And that man found that to be the truth and gave his life for it.
Calvin? John Calvin? Was he the one?
John Calvin. Anybody know who John Calvin is? John Calvin signed the death warrant that they would burn Servetus at the stake. What a horrible, horrible thing. And here you have a man that founded another whole church that is refusing the gospel and killing the opposition. Are y'all ready for opposition? Our world is going south in a hurry. And you don't get this thing without a total sellout. You don't get there without getting rid of all those things that tie you down. The scripture tells us to lay aside every weight. And we like to bear down on the sin that does so easily beset you. But the weights, I contend, are more damaging than the sin can be, because we're conscious of sin, but we can be so unconscious of weights that we wind up just, I got so many things to do. How am I ever going to pray? Throw that off. Throw it off. Somewhere along the way, those things have to go. If we don't find a way to get rid of them, nobody else is going to do it for you. You can say all you want to, oh, I want to be closer to God. Anybody feel that way? Anybody? I've found that my wife and I have been perpetual dieters for years. And it's paid off. But years ago, before we started this, she goes, honey, I really need to lose some weight. I'm sorry, please forgive me. And I go, baby, only you. You know, there was a campaign one time by a bear. His name was Smokey the Bear. And he goes, only you can prevent forest fires. You know what? I can't do anything about your walk with God. I can't do a thing about your walk with God. I can admonish you. I can pray for you. I can beg you. Come on. Let's do this. You know what? It's for the glory of God's kingdom. It is for the building. I don't know anybody that I wouldn't want to experience this. I want everybody I know to have the Holy Ghost. Lord, help us. Help me. I looked at Elisha and Elijah. Elisha has slaughtered the oxen, and he's burnt the plow, and he has thrown in with the prophet, and he follows him until that day. That day is coming. That day is coming. There is an opportunity. Brother McMullen preached, the door is still open. Do you desire to be a vessel for God? I mean, we're going to be a vessel. You can be they have these little things outside of businesses. It's looks like a flower pot, and it comes up, and it's got a little thing on top with a hole in it where people deposit stuff that smells really bad, smoking. Anyway, somebody's going to be a vessel. And that may be what some people are. That's the kind of vessel they are, full of all kind of filth and all kind of defilement. But you know, even if you are a paper cup dedicated to the service of God, you can be so effective. The scripture talks about giving a glass of water to a prophet in the name of the Lord. Wow, I could really use a glass of water right about now myself. Oh, good, there's one down there. There is nothing to be looked down on if your offering is smaller than somebody else's. Jesus proved that when the woman with the two mites slipped in and sort of inconspicuously put her offering in the pan and walked on. And Jesus said, hey, you see that lady over there? She just gave more than everybody else because she gave everything she had. What am I holding back? Sometimes I feel like Ananias. God knows me. I can't hide a thing from him. You remember Ananias? Oh, we sold it for such and such, and this is it. Oh, God, look what happened to him. I will give you all. You got 5 minutes left. I will give you all. 4 minutes. Of all is what you ask of me. Oh, time to go. Where are we going with our walk with God? Where are we? How are we going to reach the lost if we don't give him everything we've got? And again, I am telling you, this has been eating at me like crazy. I don't want to be left behind because I had to have my whatever it was. You can tell a person's dedication by two things. Number one, their calendar. Number two, their checkbook. What are they dedicated to? You know, we bring our first fruits to the Lord. We gladly, with joy, bring our first fruits to the Lord. We give them with great joy because we know there's more coming. If we bring ourselves to Him, we can have an experience with God that is beyond anything we've ever imagined. I don't know what my life would be like if I could find 6 hours a day to pray. I don't want to say I don't see it happening. Our world is changing so much that you don't know what may happen tomorrow. North Korea may launch a missile right over and knock out everything we got, and we may find ourselves scavenging through a trash can to eat. Anybody excited? Anybody hungry? What would happen if tomorrow there were no electricity, no computers, no nothing? What would you do? Oh, I'm sorry, you're a prepper. No, I don't think you're a prepper. To me, a prepper is one that has sold everything he has and put his life in the book. When you sell everything for this, you win. You win. I look at the prophet Elijah. Elijah told Ahab, he said, by my word, it will not rain for the next 3.5 years. Anybody here can stop it from raining? I'm sure Brother Jordan would appreciate your help occasionally because he needs it not to rain on certain days when they're doing that work. I don't have the ability to stop the rain. Where did Elijah get that power? Where did he get the ability to stop the rain? Now, when your baby is sick and there ain't no power, there ain't no gas, there ain't no doctor, there ain't no nothing, excuse my grammar for all you that are grammar folks, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Did you sell out enough that you can call on the Lord and see results? I'm sick at me. I'm sick at me because I pray and I pray and I pray and I pray. And it's like, I'm not really sure I heard from God. I heard from the God from the pulpit. When the pastor preaches, I know I've heard from God. But sometimes we need an answer from God ourselves. Sometimes we don't even know what we got. I've heard people tell stories about buying something and finding out after they threw it away it was worth just all kind of money. Back in many years ago, probably 30 years ago, I bought a guitar at a yard sale. Yes. For $5 with a hard shell case. Those of you that don't know anything about guitars, it won't mean anything to you. Me and Brother Caleb will have a conversation here. It was an Epiphone Triumph Regent, beautiful guitar, $5. Played it a little bit. A guy that knows my family is a guitar collector, and I told him I had it. He goes, what you want for it? I said, oh, I'll take $45 for it. Wow, that is 9 times what I paid for it. That is right, isn't it? 9 times. Okay. Sometimes you get up here and you'll say all kind of things and you don't realize what you said. So I made 9 times my $5 back on that guitar. A couple weeks later, I found out he sold it for $300 because he knew what he had. Now you can't touch that guitar for under about $1,800, $2,000 because I didn't know what I had. Do you know what you got? You have power in you that created the earth, that created the heavens and the earth. You've got power in you that made blind men see, that made raise the dead up out of the ground. Lazarus, come forth. That power is in you. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think, according to the power that works in you. What am I missing? I'm teaching tonight. That makes me feel better. What am I missing? You know, sometimes you start teaching somebody something and you learn something yourself. I want to be a paper cup in his hand. If I'm a paper cup in his hand, I can't go wrong. If my life is in his hand, everything's going to be fine. It doesn't matter if all of a sudden there is no power, there is no food. Do you realize the prophet stopped the rain and the Lord told him, said, just go sit down by the brook and I will feed you. Well, he sat down by the brook and ate morning and evening. I'm not sure what he ate. The Bible says he ate meat and a bird brought it to him. That's sort of appetizing. But he sat there and ate until the creek dried up. And when the creek dried up, guess who knew? God knew. God says, go down to the widow of Zarephath. Is that the right town? Now, one of those, nobody will argue with me because I got the mic. He went down there and he said, go, this woman is out there getting ready to cook her last meal. She'll take care of you. And here is a lady that is doing what I'm talking about. He said, give me some water to drink. Look, he's the reason why there was no water. And now he's asking for water. So she goes, well, here. Well, what are you doing? Well, I'm going to, oh, he goes, and give me a morsel of bread. She goes, well, I'm gathering 2 sticks. How big a fire can you build with 2 sticks? When I think of a stick, I think of, you know, something about the size of a pencil, a stick. I'm going to make a cake, and me and my son are going to eat this cake, and we're going to die. Wow. You ever met anybody like that? This is it. I'm going to eat this and it's over. And the prophet said, feed me first and everything will be okay. Do you realize that that lady had no idea? I don't think she did. And what I've read, I don't think she even knew who he was. She just figured, oh, he must be a prophet. I imagine if she had known that he was the cause of the dearth, she probably would have killed him and ate him. But she didn't know. So at his word, she gave all that she had. She took the last little bit of meal, the last little bit of oil, made a little tortilla, put it on the grill. What, you don't think it's a tortilla? What can you make with flour and oil? A tortilla, right? So you made the tortilla and she gave it to him and he ate it. And God provided until the famine was over. God knows what he's doing. If you put your last little bit in his hand, he'll spread it out. He will really spread it out. Another lesson of itself. So, Luke chapter 14, verse 28 says, for which of you, intending to build a tower, setteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation, is not able to finish it. All that behold it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. How many times have we said, oh God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I can't tell you how many times I have said that in my life. 48 years ago, there's much of you in here that aren't even 48 years old. 48 years ago, God filled a six-year-old boy with the Holy Ghost. I look at my life and I go, God, what have I done? I've done nothing. I look around and I go, God, forgive me. And I'm not being silly. I look at this great thing that God has put in my life, filled me with the Holy Ghost, and I've told him, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go to Africa. Who cares about Africa? And I'm not, don't mean to throw off on that. What about your neighbor? What? What, my neighbor? Him? He has bad breath. There are people next door to us that need this gospel. I've got neighbors. I think I know all my neighbors. I don't see one of them here tonight. I have a neighbor here tonight. Wave your hand. Where's my neighbor? I have a neighbor here. Balcony? Balcony neighbor? Oh, there she is in the balcony. God bless my neighbor. Happy birthday. That was yesterday. I have neighbors that don't have the Holy Ghost. It's not them. Who's going to tell them? Who is going to tell your neighbors? Who's going to share the gospel with your neighbors? When it's your baby in the altar praying, guess what? It's suddenly important. When it's your neighbor's baby in the altar, it's like, is it time to eat yet? I'm guilty. I'm guilty. God, help me. I don't want to be that. I've done it before. I don't want to do it again. But I have made, we've all said, God, I'll do what you want me to do. And then all of a sudden we find out that that comes with a price tag. The price tag is the price tag. Some things you can get a deal on. You know, I remember several years ago, I had a Jeep. My Jeep had two fog lights on the bumper. One of them had taken a rock or something, and it was broken. And I found about this thing called eBay. Anybody know what eBay is? Ooh, eBay's wonderful at times. It can be very annoying at other times. I went on eBay, somebody told me about it, and I said, oh, there's the fog light for my Jeep. How much am I willing to pay for that fog light? Oh, it costs this much brand new. Oh, I'll go $20. Suddenly somebody's outbid me at $20 and a penny. I'll go $21. Somebody outbid me $21.05. Do you know that somebody is bidding for your time? God, I'll do anything. Hey, guys, y'all want to play basketball? God, can we start next week? And I'm telling you my experience. My experience has been, Lord, I think I need to go on a three-day fast. Hey, we're going for tacos. Count me in. You laugh, but I'm telling you what, you laugh because you've been there too. It is not fun because the tacos suddenly aren't even good when you realize what you just told the Lord. Lord, I'll give you gas station tacos. Yes, Lord, I'll give you gas station tacos. I want to find that place of being sold out. There is no other place like it. If I had to depend on my relationship to God to survive, how long would I make it? And it's not about surviving, because to me, you know, Paul said to live is Christ, to die is gain, you know. Standing in front of the Lord is going to be a wonderful thing if it's on good terms. And sometimes it's like, okay, God, just take me. And other times it's like, not now. I want to stand before him in joy, going, God, I didn't find everybody, but I told everybody I could. Did I? Did we? Did we do all we could do? Are we doing all we can do? And again, I'm going to go back to my verse. 2 Timothy 2:6, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. So this has eaten me up long enough, I got to share it with somebody else. So, now, some things take time. I don't particularly like microwave food. I just don't like it. It's too, it's just not, it's like an afterthought. It's like, oh, throw it in the microwave. I really don't care for it. I like something that's been carefully put together, chopped and minced and seasoned and boiled and fried, and I'm getting hungry. But there's been some real passion put into it. Do you know that a place with God is not acquired overnight? You don't get there overnight. I was doing a little research and found out that in 2016, we talked about this the other day, it was taking on average 6 years to complete a four-year degree study. Wow. My son actually crammed 3 years of college, crammed 3 years of college in 5 years. So we know what that's like. Some things just take longer than you think it's going to take. You know, in our walk with God, we're like, God, I really want to be spiritual. Okay. What are you going to do about it? He's not just going to just, okay, move over a little bit. No, a bat. All right, the whole word. That's not how God works. What are you going to do about it? What am I going to do about it? What am I going to push away? I heard a preacher preach one time. He had a situation in his church that really needed a touch of God. It had got to the point that it was beyond any counseling. It was way overboard. He said he turned his plate over and said, God, I'm not eating until you solve it. 40 days later, the plate was still upside down and God moved. Do I have that kind of resolve? Do you have that kind of resolve? Do you want those kind of things to happen that God knows you mean business? You know, there was a man in the Bible, his name was Balaam. This guy was amazing. He told the Balak sent some emissaries to him and said, hey, we want you to come do something for this guy, for Balak. And he goes, well, I'll tell you what, you stay here tonight, I'll go in my tent, and I'll talk to God, and he'll tell me what to do. Can you do that? Have you ever been able to do that? I don't know anybody that's been able to do that. What did Balaam have in his relationship to God? How had he got that relationship with God that he could tell somebody, I'll hear from God tonight, and I'll tell you what he said? What price did he pay to have that kind of relationship with God? Then look what the crazy guy did. He sold out. He found out, hey, there's money in this. I could be rich. Not bad. We don't have to worry about buying bread anymore. Somebody can cook it for me. Yeah. We can get the king's money. We can make this happen. What happened that a man that had God at his call, and I don't mean to be irreverent by that, but he could say, God, what you want me to do? And God would speak up. God don't talk to me like that. Sometimes it takes me a while to find out what God wants about a certain thing. God has opened the door. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, there's a lot of other things that come along with rest. There's provision that comes along with rest. There's all kind of blessings that come along with going to him and giving him everything that we have. So my question is this. Is it possible that the cost is too great? Is the cost too great? My wife and I do not go to Buckhead and shop for automobiles on that road in Buckhead that has the Maseratis and the Lamborghinis and the Bentleys. We don't shop for cars there. That is way out of our budget. Now, there are people that go in there and throw down cash and buy cars because it's in their budget. It's like, oh yeah, I've got a mil for this year's car budget. Boom, done. Give me that car, and they drive off with whatever they want. Now, everybody has a budget, whether you know it or not. Everybody has a budget, whether it's a paper bag with a dollar in it or a calendar all marked up. Your time has a budget as well. You are responsible for what's on that calendar. You know, we make time for stuff. Oh, yeah. My grandson wanted to go somewhere. We were down visiting a couple weeks ago, and my grandson wanted one of those little hooks to put on his hat. that goes on the bill of the hat. I had one when I was a kid. And I said, let Grandpa go find you one. We looked all over Columbus and never found one. Can you believe that? Couldn't find a hook in Columbus. When I got back to Buford, found one down at Dick's Sporting Goods, bought it for him, getting ready to send it to him. You know, God has a treasure trove open to us that we haven't even got close to. I haven't seen a blind man healed yet. Anybody seen a blind man healed? Anybody? Anybody want to see a blind man healed? I want to see. This is the church of the living God. Jesus said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. What's the problem? What's my problem? How come I don't? Have I got no faith? Have I got no commitment? Have I not sold out? Am I too interested in something else than to give him everything I've got? The second portion of the question we've already asked, is the cost too great? Well, how about, is the reward too small? Ouch. I don't think I can put a price tag on heaven. I don't think I can put a price tag. I really can't think of anything that I wouldn't pay to go to heaven. Is there anything anybody can think of that you wouldn't give to go to heaven? I'm afraid that someday we're going to be held, I know we're going to be held accountable for all these things that are written right here in this book. We're going to be held accountable for them. You know, the scripture says that he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. That's pretty plain. That is like really cut and dried plain. God has opened the door to us to give us so much. There was a man came to Jesus one time, and in Mark chapter 10, verse 17, and was gone forth in the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Skipping down to verse 21, and Jesus, beholding him, loved him. That just really got my attention. He loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Lord, I sure wish I was down to one thing. Anybody ever feel like that? Lord, if I only had one thing I had to worry about, wouldn't that be something? One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up thy cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. I have had and have had not, I prefer to have, if anybody knows what I mean. I was telling somebody the other day, I've been employed and I've been unemployed, and I really prefer to be employed. It's nice to know you're going to get food money. So how long does it take? How long does it take to learn to give all? It's a daily process. You have to do it every day. The alarm clock goes off, and unfortunately, it has a snooze button on it. I think I've about wore the snooze button out of my clock. No, that's not true. It's a smartphone or a dumb phone, whichever. I've about snooze. It's a 10-minute snooze. Anybody snooze in the morning? Keep snoozing. Yes, we're together. What do I do when I get up? Well, that's the time to go pray. The more I snooze, the less I get to pray because I have to be at work. Am I willing to give my snooze button for a closer walk with the Lord, for more time with Him? All of you folks that are married, or whether a long time or a short time, you've been married a long time now. You know, when you're first married, one thing that is so important to you is just being together, just sitting across the table and, you know, sharing a milkshake, or just spending time with somebody. And you know, God has blessed my wife and I love her very much, and we just celebrated 29 years together, and we still like to spend time together. I don't know what's wrong with her. She loves me, I guess. We enjoy spending time together. Does our relationship with the Lord, is it still like that? That, oh God, I just got to be in your presence again. Oh God, I remember when you filled me with the Holy Ghost. I remember what it felt like. Can I feel that again? touch me again. Let me feel your embrace. It's there. Are you willing to pay for it? It comes with a price tag. Trying to figure out how long certain things take. I was hoping Brother Daryl Adams would be here tonight, but he's not. On average, they say to achieve a black belt in karate, if you go train 2 days a week, it will take you 5 years to achieve a black belt in karate. They say if you go fifth degree black belt, it can take you as much as 29 years to achieve a fifth degree black belt. Now, I don't know how long it takes to achieve that relationship with God, but God knows when we're sold out. He knows when we're sold out. He knows where our mental tally is. He knows what we're wanting to do. Oh, God, got to be close to you. I got to have you. Got to have something from you. I got to have that touch. I want to do something for you. It reminds me of children. Okay, can I carry that for you? They just want to be, some of them want to be helpful. I won't say they all do, but some of them do. Especially when they see daddy come home with his briefcase. How can I get, you know, that's how God works sometimes for us. What can I do for you, Lord? What do you want from me? In investments, sometimes you don't realize it's grown so much until you get your statement in the mail. In our walk with God, we don't realize how far we've come until we stop and look back down the road. We start counting people. We go, oh, they're gone. They passed away. Oh, wow, they got grandchildren. And you begin to see all these people that have been filled with the Holy Ghost through the years, how the church has grown and gotten bigger and bigger. You know, in 1972, the Dow hit 1,000 points. 1,000 points. I've heard of losses that almost equaled 1,000 points in a day. But by then, it had reached 1,000 points. It took it 27 years to hit 10,000 points. In 1999, the Dow hit 10,000 points. 17 years later, in November of 2016, it hit 20,000 points. Where is our walk with God? Where are we going? Where are we building capital? Are we building capital? We build capital with what we do. You can be assured, Sunday school teachers, man, they earn a reputation with their children. I know some of these kids that love their Sunday school teacher, Brother Harbison. Some of them love their Sunday school teachers. They can't wait to see them. They're ready to go to Sunday school. That's the capital that we have that God has given us from selling out, selling all that we have. Let's all stand. Moses spent 40 years on the backside of the desert. 40 years. I don't know if it took God that long to get him ready, but he spent 40 years preparing for something that was way beyond him. We all have a task in front of us. I don't know what your task is. I don't even know really what my task is, but I want to be sold out and ready for whatever the job is that comes my way. If you stick with it, one day you'll wake up and realize you're not the same person you were 10 years ago. You'll wake up, you'll be going across the stage to pick up your diploma. Dr. Ben Copeland. Maybe not. One day we will stand in front of him and he will either say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You know, God cannot lie. God will not lie. Brother Keith Holly and I were talking one day. He said, you know, God can't tell a lie, because if he did, suddenly it would be the truth. Because God speaks things into existence that are not. And if you're looking for that thing in your life, have faith. Have faith. Make that move, that commitment on your part. Anybody here want that experience with God? Anybody want to make that commitment to God? I believe God is looking for people tonight that want to make a sold-out commitment. I want to see things happen. I want to be willing to give whatever he asks. If it's that 10-minute snooze in the morning so I can have 10 minutes more in prayer, then I want to be willing to get up out of that bed and give him 10 more minutes of prayer time in the morning. Not just 10 minutes, but 10 minutes more. You know how you pray an hour? 1 minute at a time. Okay, profound, whatever. But we look at the big picture and we say, I can't do that. Well, one bit at a time, one step at a time. I can't walk to California, not in one day. You give me a couple months, I might walk to California. You know, I can't get to heaven by myself. I can't get to heaven on my own. But I guarantee you one thing, I keep going to the altar, I keep praying, I keep reaching out and giving my best to Him. One day I'm going to see Him. And I want to hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. If I am not faithful, I'd just be dreaming to hope He would call me faithful. But if I'm faithful to Him, as He counts faithfulness, not as men count faithfulness, but as God counts faithfulness, He will say, well done. Let's all come to the front. Let's all come up. I have felt the Spirit of God move in this place tonight. I have felt the Holy Ghost. I believe God wants to do something in our lives. I believe He wants to do something in our church. I believe God wants to touch our city. I believe God wants to turn our city upside down with revival. I believe He wants to change our lives so that we can help change other people's lives. Let's all pray tonight. Put your hand on somebody next to you. Let's all pray together before we go tonight. Let's pray for that commitment that God will help us to.